Can read English together. In chapter 4, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, verse 80-81. O Sri Vrindavan, everybody, everyone together. O Sri Vrindavan, I am now very fortunate. I have become the object of your invaluable mercy. You have given me the permission to reside within your boundaries, a permission that is prayed for by Lord Brahma, Sukadev Goswami and Sanak Kumar and others. This greatest of gifts gives me hope that someday I will directly serve the splendid, charming, eternally youthful, amorous, fair and dark divine couple Radha Shyam. O Sri Vrindavan, you are more affectionate than millions of mothers. Your supremely wonderful transcendental glories are forever recalled by Lakshmi, Shiva, and a host of great souls. Yes, it is true that you have now appeared before my eyes, and you have granted me Brajavas, which is sought by the most advanced devotees. But why do you now hesitate to allow me to serve the rustic janas that live within your boundaries? So I've put, this is chapter 13, verse 45, Shalini. Chandas or meter. There's a comma there. You see the comma after punyam. So we went over this the other day. I'll just review it once again quickly. You can listen. Punyat punyam mangalam mangalanam divya divyam kamadam kamadanam. Like this. Okay. This is called Shalini meter. Together. Punyat punyam mangalam mangalanam divya divyam kamadam kamadanam. Sarat saram premadam premadhanam anyad brinda ranyato manyatam ka. I'll read the translation. Vrajadham is the most sacred of all sacred places, the most auspicious of all auspicious things, the most splendid and transcendental of all that is splendid and transcendental. End. Braj is the greatest desire-fulfilling philanthropist of all desiring-fulfilling philanthropists. Not only is Vrindavan greater than the greatest of they who know divine love, of they who bestow divine love, but she is the greatest giver of transcendental love. Is there any place other than Sridham Vrindavan that can be thought of in this way? And this is Brahma Samhita with a little variation that I do. You know that one? Nanyat padami nashinomi chait. This is like this, you know, a little different. A little softer edges. 17.105. Nanyat padami nashinomi no chintayami. Nanyat prajami na bhajami na cha ashrayami. Pashyami jagrati tata sapnapina nanyat shri radhika rati vinoda vinam vinaham. I will not speak, hear, or think of anything else. I will not speak, worship, or take shelter of anything else, either awake or in dreams. I do not see anything but the forest where Sri Radha enjoys pastimes, Sridham Vrindavan. This is verse 16.1. This is Shardula Vikriditam, is the name of this chandas or meter, and it's like six Goswami prayers.
Radha Vakta Saroja Divyamarapam, Radha Drisho Ranjanam. Radha Vakshasi Divya Nilavasanam, Radha Mana Shrinkalam, Radha Nabi Sudasara Kuvalayam, Radha Padashinakin, Dunam Lachanameva Vanchatavane, Radhaka Kela Mrigam.
Hey Sarakas, hanker after Shyam, who is the clever bumblebee hovering around the lotus flower of Radhika's sweet mouth. He is a black mascara bordering Kishori's lotus eyes. Sham is the splendid blue chunari covering Radha's breasts. Sham is a chain binding Radha's heart and mind, Manashinkalam. And Sham is a blue lotus growing in a nectar lake of Radha's navel, Nabi Sudasara Kuvalayam. And Sham is a deer mark on the moons of Rasheshri's effulgent toenails. This is 12, 25, and 26. This is Malini. And goes da 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 like this. Madhura madhura na na pushpa sora. You see the break, the comma? See the comma? You know what comma is? There's three words and comma then three words, something like that. Madhura madhura na na pushpa sora yalabhyam. Madhura madhura bringa shreni jankara ramyam. Madhura madhura gayat kokilam shari kirer. Madhura madhura gushta pranabandhu prapandam. Beautiful. I take shelter of the most charming forest of Vrindavan, which delights with the humming of joyous bees, maddened by the sweet fragrances of exotic tropical flowers. The attractive poetic singing of excited parrots and cuckoos saturates the love groves, wherein Radhika tightly embraces her life and soul. Again, this is Malini. Madhura madhura radha kinkari klipta shayam. Madhura madhura radha krishna keli nikunjam. Madhura madhura tat premon madandali vrindam. Madhura madhura brinda ramyan rivashrayotmi. Rivashritosmi. And the attractive kunjas of Braja, Radhika's sakis prepare comfortable flower beds for the amorous pleasures of Radha Madhav. Absorbed in the sports of their mistress and their master and mistress, Radha's delightful sakis become blinded by the intoxication of pure love divine. I take shelter of this most charming forest of Vrindavan. This is chapter 9, verse 45. Malini, again. Jayati Jayati Radha Prema Sharir Agadha. Jayati Jayati Krishnas Tad Rasapara Krishna. Jayati Jayati Brindam Satsakinam Dwayakam. Jayati Jayati Brinda Karanam Tat Sadamam. All glories to Radha, the essence of the fathomless ocean of pure love. And all glories to her dearest Sham, who is ever thirsty to drink the honey nectar of her company. All glories to the Sakhi Manjaris, who unite them in the Kunjas. All glories to Sridham Vrindavan, the matchless abode of the divine couple. This is chapter 17, verse 123 and 124. Namostu Vrindavana Sundarabhyam. Namostu Vrindavana Vibramabhyam. Namostu Vrindavana Jivanabhyam. Namostu Vrindavana Nagarabhyam. I constantly offer my obeisances unto the divine couple who are the most beautiful persons in Vrindavan. I offer my obeisances unto Radha Sham, who are bewildered by ecstatic love for each other. I offer my obeisances unto Radhika Sham, who are famous as the very life and soul of the Brijvasis. I offer my obeisances unto Radha Govinda, who always enjoy conjugal pastimes in Vrindavan. Namostu Vrindavana Satkriyabhyam. Namostu Vrindavana Sadrasabhyam. Namostu Vrindavana Purnatabhyam. Namostu Vrindavana Gocharabhyam. I forever offer my obeisances to Radha Sham, who are oceans of mercy and a storehouse of eternal pastimes in Vrindavan. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Radha Madhav, who constantly enjoys sweet rasa-filled conjugal pastimes in Vrindavan. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Radha Gopinath, who derive the greatest bliss meandering through the groves of Vrindavan. Chapter 17, verse 84. Yadeva satchit rasa rupa buddhir Vrindavanasta stira jangameshu satnirvalikam purushastadeva chakanti radha priyasevi rupa. When one understands that all the animate and inanimate entities of Sri Brajadam have eternal forms of spiritual nectar, then, and only then, he attains the form of a dear maidservant of Radha, Radha Priya Sevi Rupa. Vrindavan Mahimamrita Ki Jai. So we're continuing second class describing Nam Rup Gun Leela, the Nam Mahima Vrindavan, this name, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, or Vrindavan, or Vrindavan. Both are correct. And the popular one is Vrindavan. It's approved by all the rickshawwalas and tempo drivers and other pundits. If someone chants the name of Vrindavan, Maya runs away. So if Maya is approaching you, then you say, Vrindavan, 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 Guru, Guru, Jai Guru, Sri Guru, Jai Guru. Wow, that was close. I almost went to hell. I call out the name of Vrindavan. I was saved from going to hell because Maya means go to hell, right? Amaya. Maya says, come, it's sweet, it's fun, go to hell. Come, go to hell with me. I'll give you a free ride, free ticket. One way. From hell, from here to hell, eternally. So this is text 44, chapter 3. Muktir yati yato bahir bahir aho sam marjani gat tatas. Trustas tavara siddhiyo vidatate kakvari yat sevitum. Yan nam neva vidur agapi vilayam mayapi yayadaho. Tad brindavanam atiya chintya mahima dehantaram ashriyatam. Dehantam mahima. Chintya Mahima. Just see the inconceivable potency and glories of this shelter in Vrindavan. Just take shelter, says Prabodhananda Saraswati, of that most glorious and inconceivable Vrindavan, which from which liberation runs away after being hit with a broom. Liberation runs away. Liberation comes here when you're doing your Jaro Seva Kunj and sweeping the Kunja gullies and Prem gully and Don gully and Man gully of the Leela Stalis of Braj, and Mukti says, come, I'll give you cities, Anima City, Prapti City, any kind of Mukti. Come with me, come. Boom! you take your Jaro and smack her. Mukti Devi, Jao! Jao Mukti! For Gaudiya's mukti is maya. And for the other Vaishnavas, mukti is perfection. Sarupya mukti, Saloki mukti, Sharsti mukti, Samipya mukti. That's the perfection of Vaishnavism. The Ram Bhakta, Vishnu Bhakta, they want mukti. Ayodhya mukti. Ram, association of Ram. But we... Nadana Najanana Sundaram Kavitam Vajagadisha came. Mama Janamani Janamishri Bhavatad Bhakti Hoitaki. In Vrindavan, in the mental Vrindavan, in the physical Vrindavan, the metaphysical Vrindavan, in the Boma Vrindavan, Nitya Vrindavan, Aprakriti Vrindavan, Aprakriti Vrindavan, the Gaudiya only wants to be there serving Radha with this other person named Shab. Radhe, 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 Shyam. Radhe, 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 Shyam. Radhe 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 Sham. Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Shri Radhe. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Sri Krishna.
Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Sri Krishna.
Jaya Radhe Sham, Jaya Radhe Sham, Jaya Radhe 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 Sham, Jaya Radhe Sham, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe 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 Sham. Liberation runs away after being hit with a broom. I don't know what the Sanskrit is for that, but Samarjani. Samarjani means that does says mukti muti yati yato bahir bahir. Oh, Samarjani gatatas. She goes far, far away. She goes very far away. Yati, she runs mukti. With the Samarjani, Mandir Marjananda, you clean the temple with the broom, water and a broom and your own cloth, like Lord Chaitanya and Gundicha Marjan. They're brooming and throwing water. So that broom they're using to save a Dham Seva, then you chase away mukti. Oh, she runs far, far away. From whom the eight mystic perfections eagerly wait to serve, and the sound of whose name vanquishes the illusory energy. Vrindavan!
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 The name of Vrindavan vanquishes the illusory energy. It's very interesting how in Vrindavan the eight mystic perfections are eagerly waiting to serve the devotees. It says this verse in Krishna Karanamrita, Mukti Mukalitam. Mukulitanjali Sevatesman. Now for the devotees, mukti and all the cities that go with it, they're waiting with folded hands to serve the devotees. And there's an example of this. I just heard this morning that when devotees, there's two things. When a devotee, there's two powers that a devotee gets, mystic power. One is Vag City. If a devotee never lies, which is maybe difficult for some group of devotees, but consequently they don't get Vak City. But devotees, let's say, technically are supposed to always speak the truth and represent and live the truth and spread the truth and realize the truth and see the truth and love the truth and serve the truth eternally in loving relationship. They get this power just because they speak the truth. They get Vak City. If they're always, because they speak frankly. They don't care about politics and diplomacy. As it is. Prabhupada spoke frankly, the Bhagavad Gita, as it is. He didn't try to get a popular following like some other people that use Bhagavad Gita to increase their own name and fame. And tell it as it isn't or as it was never. Bhagavad Gita as it never was by Swami Bhogananda. Bhagavad Gita as it never was by Swami Bhogananda. But the point is that the devotee speaks as it is and he gets his power. Now here's another interesting thing that because it says all mystic perfections, especially in Vrindavan. A devotee, a very interesting characteristic of a devotee is free from greed. I heard an explanation of this. That why, this is a proof how it says in Krishna Karnamrita. So this is an example because we hear in Karnamrita and Prabhupada said, oh, eight mystic perfections wait to serve the devotee. And someone thinks, well, that means Siddha Mahatmas and the most perfect pure devotees, they have this power. I heard a description that even any serious sadhaka, even a Madhyamadikari, let's hope, or even a Kanishtha can be, if he's actually free from greed, he has no greed, which is doesn't necessarily, of course, that's a characteristic of a pure devotee. But even a sadhaka or a madhyam or someone who's sincerely and honestly practicing Krishna consciousness, he can be free from greed. It's not out of the question. And he gets reciprocation from the Lord because the Lord is the source of all shaktis. Parasya shakti rivadaya shuyate sabhavaki gana balakriyacha. So Asta cities, all these things are nothing. When Krishna sees that a devotee is actually free from greed, and what is the symptom of being free from greed? Nadana na janana sindaram. He doesn't want greed for promotion in the next life. He doesn't want greed for enjoyment of this life. He doesn't have mental greed. He doesn't have mental greed for pratishtha. That's the type of mental greed. Thinking, mental greed where one wants pratishtha, honor, distinction, be the best, be recognized. And he doesn't have physical or sensual greed for more enjoyment. He takes his quota, exactly his quota, never exceeds his quota. Because he understands that this is what God has sent me. So what he gets a very special power. And maybe some devotees that are very pure-hearted, maybe not necessarily Mahabhagavats and all that, but they're very pure-hearted and free from greed, they regularly experience this, although they're not aware of it, but they regularly experience this event, this phenomenon in their lives, which they attribute to quote-unquote coincidence, or quote-unquote, well, it's Krishna's mercy. Oh, it just, by chance, oh, it just happened that way. But actually, it's a direct blessing from the Lord, where if a devotee is free from greed, he gets a very powerful mystic city. It's called Kamavasita. Whatever he desires, he can get. This is a big mystic power. For example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was riding on the train with one disciple. His disciple's name was Paramananda Das. And Paramananda Das was the youngest personal servant of Bhaktisiddhanta. They were traveling on the train. And Paramananda says, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, I'm very hungry. I want to get some halava." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it's not so much usually available at train stops. It's usually chips and puri, sabji puri. You know, they say like this. I've heard. So I traveled all over India, all the from 86 and 87 on thousands of trains and no reservation on a little metal box. I used to sit on the metal box by the toilets. That was my seat. I could stand out. I made it. That box I just gave to one devotee. So now, it's unlikely, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "Well, let's try," like a father looking after his disciple. "Let's try. We'll, at the next stop, we'll get down. We'll try to find some halava, Paramananda. Just relax." And he's like a young devotee. At the same time with Bhaktisiddhanta, there was one yogi. So then that yogi, he came and he was in the across the aisle and just heard. He said, "Oh, your shishya is hungry. Want some halava?" He said, "Yes." So he put his hand out the window like this, while the train was moving it hasn't gotten to the next stop yet. He put his hand out the window and he pulled it in. It was a big plate of hot halava, and he handed it. This is Bhaktisiddhanta's memoirs. So he handed it to his disciple and said, "Here, Krishna has fulfilled your desire." So that's an example of a yogi. He was a yogi that was traveling on the same train, the same time as Bhaktisiddhanta. So you can say it was Bhaktisiddhanta's arrangement to display his mystic power, but so his disciple wouldn't get enamored and catapult him into siddhahood of Sai Babahood. He made the arrangement through some other person's hand. We can't say, but this is the story that was told. So this is an example of Kamavayasita, you know, getting whatever you desire, you can get. And Srila Prabhupada tells a story in a Lilamrita when he was a child in Calcutta. His father used to serve so many sadhus, invite them to the house. And the boy, Abhay, would also be there, and he was so, you know, cute and big-eyed and bright-faced and golden colors. So the sadhus were very attractive to him because he was so attractive and so pure. Perfectly pure. So they would often interact with Abhay, and they said, "Oh, Abhay, you hungry? You want?" He said, "You want some fruits?" "Yes, I want some fruits." He said, "What kind of fruits you have in your kitchen?" They said, "Banana and a mosambi and like this." So you have any pomegranates? He says, no. He says, Abba, you like pomegranates? And he said, yes. And he said, what are your favorite type of pomegranate? And Abba said, well, occasionally they come to Calcutta, some pomegranates from Kabul. Kabul, I think, is Afghanistan. Afghanistan. They're very red and very sweet and juicy, very tasty. Sometimes we get in Calcutta by trading, and my father buys. Acha. All right, you go in the dining room and you take some. Then Prabhupada walked in the dining room. There was a branch. There was a whole branch of a tree with about 5-10, you know, freshly cracked branch of a tree with 5 or 10 ripe pomegranates sitting on the dining room table. And Abhay ran out to his father, Papa, Papa, look, pomegranate. And the yogi just smiled. So these are two examples of yogis displaying this power of getting whatever they desire. Now I'll give you an example of a devotee. And any sincere devotee who is actually free from greed. What I'm saying is, if a devotee is actually free from greed, then whatever he desires, Krishna will give him in this very life. Whatever he wants. So of course he has to be careful. But because he's free from greed, he won't desire anything material. He only desires things for Krishna's service. So here's an example. My godbrother, I heard him tell this in one of his lectures, Bhakti Charu Swami, I think you're all familiar with him. And he was explaining how he was cooking for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, in the morning, go to the market and buy some karela and some radish and some palak and these things. So he bought those subjis and he came back, and then when he returned, Prabhupada said, so did you get those subjis? You got the radish? And he said, yes. And then he said, you have the karela? And when he said karela, then at that point Bhakti Truth Swami realized, oh, actually I forgot the karela. But he was afraid to disappoint his guru. So yes, Guru Maharaj, I have all the subjis. It was kind of a lie, but he didn't want to disappoint. So then right after he said that, Prabhupada said, well, bring them in. I'd like to show you how to cut them. Now, this is a little bit of a little touchy because he's supposed to bring them in the kitchen and Prabhupada's bedroom. They're only in the same house in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple, Prabhupada's house. They're right near each other. So Bhakti Chu went in the kitchen, and of course there's nothing there. So adjoining Prabhupada's room, around the back actually, out the back door in the garden, there's a door that goes into the kitchen of the guest house, Krishna Balaram guest house, because they used to cook there and bring the Prabhupada sometimes, you know, the food also. So Bhakti Chua Swami ran in the kitchen, looked all around, he couldn't find the karela. There just wasn't any around, and there wasn't any in the temple kitchen or anything. Like, they don't even cook that type of thing in the temple. So then he found some brahmachari. He said, quick, you know, go down to Loy Bazaar, get some karela, come back super fast. I'll try to, you know, we'll start cutting the other vegetables and they'll save that to last or somehow save the day. So he runs off. And to buy the karela. And then he comes back. And then Bhakti Chu, because he didn't want to be standing by the kitchen, because then he thought Prabhupada's going to say, Bhakti Charu, bring the sabji. So then he deliberately wasn't there, so he had time to stall, because Prabhupada said, bring it in. So he went out the back door. He didn't come back for some time. So Prabhupada maybe called, but he didn't come. We don't know that part of the story. But he kind of dropped out of sight. So then he was waiting by the front gate of the temple, looking down the road towards Utkanti Tabhav in great eagerness. When will he come? Where's that rickshaw? There weren't too many rickshaws in those days. It was in 77, and I believe 77 in Vrindavan Temple, Krishna Balaram. He was cooking for Prabhupada. So then he came and he said, well, what, you have the karela? He said, I went everywhere. I went to Bunky Behari Market and the main market. There's no karela anywhere. And Bhakti Chu was, oh, no. Then he was walking back to Prabhupada's house by the Krishna Balaram Temple, that sidewalk there. And he was saying, oh, Krishna, oh, Bhagavan, oh, please help me. I can't let down my Guru Maharaj. I don't mind being, you know, being punished, you know, because I didn't get the subji, and maybe he'll lie to me. And I mean, because I lied to him and he'll punish me. Why did you lie to me? He said you have it and I didn't. I don't mind whatever punishment, but I don't want to disappoint Prabhupada. He likes Karela. He eats it every day. Oh, please, Krishna. He was just praying like this, lost in his hopeless prayers. So then when he came up to, in Prabhupada's house, then he saw a lying, he went by the veranda. There was some, where was it? Prabhupada's house. But he went somewhere just near the house and he saw lying on the sidewalk a Karela. It was lying there out of nowhere. So he picked it up and he ran back and then, so then he was in the kitchen and Prabhupada said, yeah, bring that. So he brought the sabji. And then he said, then Prabhupada called out the sabjis. You have the radish? And he held up the radish. You have the palak? And he held up the palak. And then the last thing Prabhupada called was for of the 5-6 sabjis that he ordered. Do you have the Karela? And he was, and Bhakti Chu was being very quiet. And yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had a big smile on his face, looking at him like, big smile. Like when he said everything else, he was just saying, you have this. Yeah. Then when he said Karela, Prabhupada had this big smile. And Bhakti Chu was trying to look real sheepish, like, you know. And he understood, Prabhupada knew what exactly everything that happened, but he didn't say anything. So this is an example of a devotee having mystic power, because he's free from greed. And then the Lord comes to his aid. Helps him, because that's the nature of the loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees, the reciprocal. Then there's a story about how the Lord saves his devotee. In other words, this is a story of how the Lord saves his devotee in a pinch, he personally did that. But that is also a power. And there's a story shows the point that the devotee, you know, the true pure devotee, or let's say genuine devotee, is always freed, is always saved by the Lord. But it's also true that this point I'm making, that if a devotee is free from greed, then whatever he desires, Krishna will arrange. He will give it to him because he has that power. He has that mystic city, which is one of the most difficult to achieve. Anima city, become lighter than the lightest, heavier than the heaviest. These are not so hard. Even the TM people teach this anima city, you know, float, hopping they call it. You meditate on a cotton swab and your rear end goes off the ground 1 inch. You know, it's called levitation. They call it levitation courses. It's a very popular thing. Make some more money. So, in-flight movies and everything. You fly from one piece of floor to 1 foot to the other side. Boom! At any rate, this kama vayastita, to fulfill your desire, attain whatever you want, is very difficult to attain mystic power by the mystic yoga process. And by bhakti, then mukti mukulitanjali sevate sman. Mukti, personified. Mukti Swayam, Mukti Devi personified, the goddess of Mukti. Mukulitanjali, Sevate Sman. Mukulitanjali, with her hands folded like this, is Mukulitanjali, Anjali, Mukut, folded like this. How may I serve you? So this is Krishna's blessing for the clear-hearted, pure-minded devotee. So that's one point. Now I'll tell you another story how Krishna saves his devotee, although he goes to a lot of trouble. Once Hanuman and Arjun were having a discussion. And Arjun said to Hanuman, "What is this? You had to carry all those big heavy rocks and throw them on the ocean to make a bridge to Lanka from India, and so much work, you know. And wasn't there any donors there? Wasn't there any archers there that could have just expert at shooting arrows? They could have made a bridge with arrows? I can do that easily on Gandiva Dara. It's an easy feat. Any good archer can make a bridge with arrows. If an archer of my status, if we're moving in the forest and there's some ravine and you have to cross over, you just shoot arrows, make an instant arrow bridge and walk over the arrow bridge and cross this ravine which drops 3,000 feet into the jungle floor from mountaintop to mountaintop. Arrow bridge. Then you, by mantra, withdraw the arrows and put them in your quiver. Then if someone's chasing you, they get stuck on the other precipice, the other top of the mountain. They can, oh, he's over there. Bye. So, and he said, and then Hanuman said, Yeah, you think you can do it with arrows? And Ram said, of course. He said, no, arrows aren't going to support the weight of all hundreds, thousands of monkeys and so much weight. How will you support it with arrows? It's not possible. And Arjuna said, look, I'll show you. So then Arjuna went, and he made a bridge all the way from India to Lanka. So he said, he told Hanuman, go ahead, Hanuman, go on the bridge, jump up and down, do whatever you want. So then Hanuman picked up big mountains with his arms, as big as Gandhamadana Mountain, and all these mountains he picked up with herbs and everything. Picked up all these big mountains, as much weight as he could carry. He got a big backpack and a rucksack and, you know, a baby pack and a front pack and a shoulder pack and every kind of pack. And he packed in all these boulders. Then he went on the bridge of arrows built by Arjuna. And then he started jumping, boom, boom, boom. And the bridge was going, whoa, 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 whoa. Almost, but not quite breaking. It didn't break. So then, in this case, Hanuman was defeated by Bhakta Arjuna. Because Hanuman is a Dasya Bhakta. Dasya Rati Hanuman Aki. But Arjuna is a Sakha. Priyosime Sakhe. He's a Priya Sakha of Krishna. So what happened here is that Krishna came to his rescue. The ordinary arrow bridge that Arjuna did make could have supported Arjuna or his wife or a few relatives or brothers, but not Hanuman with all his power, not even Hanuman alone. What to speak of Hanuman holding rucksacks and backpacks full of mountains? Impossible. So what happened? Because when Arjuna later met Krishna in Dwarka, because he had some meeting he had, he met Hanuman here and there. It was Hanuman's Chiranjeev. So he met Hanuman, and Krishna was holding his head like this. He was a little bit bent. And he was rubbing his neck like this. Krishna had his head bent down, he's rubbing his neck. And Arjuna said, oh my lord, what happened? You slept on the wrong side, or you got a chill when you're sleeping, or your water pillow slipped off your bed or whatever. And he said, no, actually there was one Arjuna who was boasting to Hanuman about his arrow bridge. And that bridge was about to break, but I had to uphold the word of my devotee. I could not see my devotee embarrassed. I had to come to the rescue of my devotee. So I went there under the water and I held that bridge. And Hanuman was jumping and jumping. It was breaking my back and breaking my neck. He's a strong person, strong personality. But somehow, you know, so please, this, try to, you know. So this is another beautiful pastime showing how Krishna saves the face of his devotees. So the idea is that not only did Bhakti True Swami exhibit this power, although he was just thinking it's Krishna's mercy. Every devotee thinks it's Krishna's mercy, whatever good things happen to him. But at the same time, Krishna was saving him from embarrassment. Because if he brought in the subject's problem and say, where's the Karela? Oh, Guru Maharaj, this morning I forgot it, but I lied to you. But you said that you had it? Yes, I lied to you. So to save his face, to save him, even in that situation, then Krishna came to his aid by providing the Karela right there on the sidewalk in front of Prabhupada's house. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki. So this is Vrindavan. And this particular point is about the name of the place, Vrindavan. Ulasati Kapa Brinda. Vipin Yakya Saranuraga Rasakanai. Yatra Vasantam Santam. Vindati Radha Padara Vindash. Dasha. There is an indescribably transcendental storehouse of the mellows of the highest attachment for Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. A storehouse. That's Kani. Kani means storehouse. Sat Anurag Ras, Vipinyakya, in the forests of Brinda Vipina, right? He goes and knows Vipin. Vipin means forest. And he steals our mind with his beauty and his flute playing and his activities. The Sat Anurag Rasakani, Yachava Santam, Vindati Radha Padaravindasha. Just by residing there of a santam, one can automatically attain the lotus feet of Radha. Vindati Radha Padaravindasha. Asha, your hope, your asha, your hope against hope to attain Radhapad. Radhapadaravinda, Aravinda, the lotus feet of Radha. Radhapadaravinda, asha, that is the asha of a devotee. Ainanda tanashikankaram patiram vam vishame bhavambudo kripayata vaparabankaja stita duli sadrisham vachintya. So this is the place Vrindavan. This is the verse about the name Vrindavan, the place of Vrindavan. The name of the place named Vrindavan has this power. It is a kani, a rasa kani. What kind of rasa? Anurag. Sneyaman pranaya rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, anurag. Ever fresh, ever new, ever different, new, charming, unbelievably surprising. Moment after moment, this is anurag. That rag, that attachment that increases and changes in form and shape and taste and experience moment by moment, so much so you can't even recognize your beloved. Oh, that's, who is this Shyam? This Shyam, you just spent 3 hours in the cave of Govardhan with this Shyam, and now you're seeing him on top of Govardhan with the coward boys, you don't recognize him? No, who is that beautiful boy? This is Anurag. The same person you spent 3 hours with in a cave in conjugal bliss, you see him an hour later with the coward boys, and Lalita says, there's your Shyam, shining like a beautiful, beautiful moon above Govardhan Hill. I mean, beautiful monsoon cloud above Govardhan Hill. Who is that? Who is that dark person? I've never seen him before. What is his name? This is the Radharani's experience of Anurag. Anurag. Attachment, moment by moment, step by step, second by second, changes, enhances, deepens, increases, expands in surprising and astonishing ways that can't even recognize your beloved. That you feel and see as if you've never seen or the person or never met the person before. Something ever fresh. We hear the term Navayovanam. Well, this is a more specification of that term, ever fresh. Doesn't just mean he's always young and good looking. Which everyone's trying to be, but no one is. No one's either young nor good looking. Keep trying. Just by residing there, one can automatically attain the lotus feet. Santam. Yatra vasantam. Yatra vasantam, santam. Vindati radha padara vindasha. Well, we're banking on that. At least we're residing here. That's what I'm trying to say. This is the glories of Vrindavan. Just reside here. Is there any books to describe Mumbai Mahimamrita? Bombay Mahimamrita? Is it Bombay? Or Lodi Mahimamrita? Noida Mahimamrita? I never heard. I don't think it would sell any copies either. What's glorious about Maya? What's glorious about residing in a smoke-filled, congested, dacoit-filled city? Nothing. So this Vrindavan is a flood of nectar. This is the same chapter, verse 44. Let's turn to that. 13:44. Vrindavan is a flood of nectar. Sri Vrindavana nama varnamanoya porno rasai karnava karna swadayate paramcha rasana tam radhika krishnayo nitya karna navarnana tad angarhatatmanantapadham bojo prema britam ajanataiha prekshepinantyo dasaha. There is a transcendental ocean. A transcendental ocean. Porna rasaik arnava. a complete ecstasy, a rasa arnava, rasika, purna rasik arnava, a complete ocean of rasik feelings, Sri Vrindavana nama varnam, the syllables of the name Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan nam varna means the syllables, the mantras of this name, Sri Vrindavan. Vrindavan. What are they? Purna Rasa Arnava. Ek. Rasa Ek Arnava. Huh? Arnava means ocean. Gunarnava. Ocean of qualities. So this Rasa Eka Arnava. It's one ocean of a complete Rasa. Just in the syllables. Nanavarnam. Isn't it? There is a transcendental ocean of complete ecstasy connected with the name of Vrindavan. It's all the rasas. All the rasas and complete expression of all the rasas. There is Dasi Ras completely. No further expression or deeper expression of Dasi Ras than in Vrindavan. Deeper than Ayodhya, deeper than Vaikuntha, deeper than anywhere. And the Sakhi Ras and the Shanta Ras and the Vatsali Rasa and Madhura Rasa. Because anywhere else, Madhura Rasa and the entire spiritual firmament only goes to Swakya, not to Parakya. There's no risk there. Sri Radha and Krishna eternally relish that ecstasy, that complete ocean of ecstasy, ocean of Rasa. Radha and Krishna relish of Purna Rasa Arnava. Purna Rasa Arnava. When? When they hear and talk about Vrindavan. And they do. They wander. Krishna does Vanvihar. He wanders in the forest as Radha. And he starts glorifying. Oh, look at the parrots and look at the birds and Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita. He's saying so many things to glorify this Vrindavan. Look how glorious is this Vrindavan. And he tells Balaram, see, Vrindavan, your footprints are making the land of Vrindavan glorious. The trees are bending down to worship your feet and offer their fruits and flowers for your pleasure. So Krishna loves, in verses of Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Krishna's glorifying Vrindavan. Gopis are glorifying Vrindavan. And the resonance, the cows are so fortunate they can drink the liquid nectar of Krishna's flute with their upraised ears like cups. And the deer are so fortunate they can run up to Krishna and lick him with their tongues. And gaze at them with their big, moist, soft lotus eyes. And they go there with their husbands in accompaniment. And we're so unfortunate, our husbands lock us up in the house and don't even let us get out. The deer are more fortunate than we. They go together with their husbands. Sri Vrindavan Dhama ki Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. It's bliss. Some of the happiest times I ever had in my life when I was researching a book about appreciating Vrindavan Dham. 20 years ago, 1991 was published. And I was collecting from 1987 to 1991, I was collecting I had so many notebooks of quotations about Vrindavan. I used to share them with my friends. They would come and say, well, let me read this thing about Vrindavan, the cows, the monkeys, the squirrels, this, that. Look what Prabhupada said, look what I found here. Vrindavan Mahimamrita says this. I was reading in 1987, 88. Came out then. I was so much absorbed in appreciating Vrindavan. And I remember I would, because people would come to the rooms and they either they talk Vrijapala or I talk Krishna consciousness. So I would talk Krishna consciousness, tell about Prabhupada's glories and pastimes there. And say, well, let me read from my notes. And then it became a popular thing. Maharaj, what do you have in your notebook? Read some more things about Vrindavan. So then I read. Then one time someone says, why don't you make a book? Why don't you publish all this in a book? And I said, oh, I don't know. And then I had a dream, and then the chapters came in a dream, and then I wrote the book. The inspiration, the title, chapter titles of about maybe 14 chapters or so. And then as I worked on it, then logically and consciously, I thought, well, if I'm going to produce a book about Vrindavan somehow, then I should write about this and this and that. And the other chapters were cognitively created. So this is, let's finish this now. This Radha and Krishna eternally relish that ecstasy by hearing and talking about Vrindavan. Therefore, it is my conviction that those who have no love for persons who live in the area of Vrindavan, or persons who have no love for those who love the inhabitants of Vrindavan, cannot attain the highest transcendental mellows of ecstatic love. Bojo prema britam ajanata iha prekshipi nantyo rasa. Beautiful verse. Can't really understand all other words. Could get into it, but karnan swadayate param rasana radhika krishna radhika krishna karna swad param. That's pretty easy. You can figure that out by Hindi. Karna, you say nak, karna swad param radhika and krishna. Rasana means tongue. Rasana, they taste. Their ears taste, and their tongue it tastes. Their ears and tongues taste a parama rasana, supreme taste, when they glorify this ocean of ras known as Vrindavan. Their ears relish a ras, and their tongue relishes a ras, a rasana. That's the name for the tongue, or to taste, or to relish. Radhika Krishna, yo. Nitya Karnanan Varnanan. Beautiful. Sanskrit. So we'll stop there. And then that concludes about the Naam. And tomorrow we'll start a new section, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, the great glories of Vrindavan. This is all these verses we spoke so far were about the name. Naam Rup Gun Leela is about the name of Vrindavan, the name and the place known as Vrindavan. And tomorrow we'll talk about the glories of Vrindavan, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Of course, that's the title of the book also. Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita Ki Jai.